Please remain standing. I would like to direct your attention tonight to Exodus chapter 2, beginning from verse 11 to 25. Exodus 2, 11 to 25. I will read it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. One day when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. When he went out the next day, behold, two Hebrews were struggling together. And he said to the man in the wrong, "Why do you strike your companion?" He answered, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "Surely the thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. The shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and saved them and watered their flock. When they came home to their father, Reuel, he said, "How is it that you have come home so soon today?" They said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds and even drew water for us and watered the flock." He said to his daughters, "Then where is he? Why have you left the man? Call him that he may be eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man. And he gave Moses his daughter, Zipporah. She gave birth to a son, and he called his name Gershom. For he said, "I have been a sojourner in a foreign land." During these many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because their slavery and cried out for help. The cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard the groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. The word of God. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, as we hear your word tonight, learn from it, we ask you to open our eyes so that we would see your sovereign work in the redemption of your own people, the remnant, the elect. We also ask you to enable us by the Holy Spirit to apply what we are going to hear from your word tonight in our own life and for your glory. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. When I was young, very active in the youth ministry of the Lutheran Church when my father was a pastor, I used to write a drama script for historical books in the Bible. One of them was the book of Esther. And when the play begins from the stage, most of the time, I would be behind the scene. behind the curtain and make sure that the actors are ready to go for the next act. Those of you who have done that before, you know how much activities goes on behind the scene, behind the curtain. And every time, as a writer and producer, go to the main hall, join the audience, and I watch the drama, there was always one thing that struck me. I look around, feel the quietness of the audience in the hall, waiting to enjoy the next act. And I always say to myself, these people have no idea, they have no clue about what is going on behind the scene. Well, we come to Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 to 25. And that was exactly how the people of Israel were feeling, because they had no idea about the sovereign hand of God working toward their deliverance. Because they had no clue about what was going on behind the scenes. God actively working for His people, for the salvation of His people. How they felt was that everything was dark and empty for God's people. And they were asking, God has forgotten us. God has forgotten the cause of His people. Where is God? What is He doing about us? We are here in Egypt in slavery. We have been oppressed and afflicted. Where is our God? Beloved, behind the scenes, God was at work. And as you can see from our text tonight, behind the scenes, God was preparing a deliverer. God was preparing an imperfect deliverer who was a man of faith and action. His name was Moses. And I want us to consider that tonight under two simple headings. First, I want us to consider God preparing Moses as a deliverer, verse 11 to 15. And then I want us to consider the fact that God He's never unaware of the plight of His people. He always knows, and He always remembers, and He always delivers, but in His proper timing. I was amazed this week because my sermon in the morning and now in the evening, they are on one theme, understanding God's will, understanding God's perfect timing, and knowing that, keep trusting the sovereign God working for His people behind the scenes. So first, God preparing Moses as a deliverer. Notice verse 11. One day, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now you read verse 11. You hear verse 11 being read to you. And I'm sure what comes to your mind is Moses' mission in Egypt is failing. Moses' mission in Egypt is going down. Especially if you remember what God has done so far to deliver and preserve Moses for the deliverance of his people. Think about his mother and the faith that he demonstrated to leave her son on the Nile River by faith. Think about God providing his sister just, you know, at the river, watching over her brother. Think about the daughter of Pharaoh coming and taking Moses and adopting him as her own son. Think about Moses end up under the care of his own mother as a nursing mother. Think about the courage and the boldness of the midwives, the Hebrew midwives, not fearing the decree of Pharaoh and sparing the life of Moses. You know, you remember all these things and then you read verse 11 and you go, that's it. There is no hope for God's people. But remember John Murray, one of the church fathers, once he said, and I quote, "Behind a frowning providence, what it seems the disapproval of God, displeasure of God, frowning providence of God. Behind the frowning providence, he hides a smiling face." You think God is angry at you? You think his frowning providence is just upon you? But behind that frowning providence, God is smiling at you. God is working for you. But what about now? Does it mean God's displeasure on the people of Israel will go on and go on until Israel is no more? Is that what's going on here? Our text tells us the opposite. Moses' mind and heart started to think about God's people. Listen to what Moses himself tells us. Moses wrote Exodus. So he's telling us, you know, what happened in his own heart, what happened in his own mind. There was a moment in his life that he started thinking about the people of Israel in Egypt. He was in Pharaoh's house. He was the prince in Pharaoh's house. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter with all the privileges of Egypt. And then the time came that he started thinking about the people of Israel. And he said to himself, "This morning I will go outside. I will go to the place where my people are laboring as slaves and see how they're doing." You know, he felt this burden about the people of Israel as a deliverer. And this is what happened. One day when Moses had grown up, he was now 40 years old, he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. He looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. That was his first encounter as a deliverer. An Egyptian taskmaster beating a Hebrew slave. In the Hebrew Bible, it says he was beating him with the intent to kill him. That's what was happening. He was not just wounding him, he was beating him with the intent to kill him, to murder him. And Moses saw the wrongdoing, the injustice, and he struck the Egyptian and he hid him in the sand. He acted as a deliverer. He acted as a deliverer to avenge for the injustice that was taking place in the life of God's people. And on the next day, he again went out, and this time two Hebrews were fighting with one another. And Moses intervened, and he said to the one who was wronging his brother, "Why are you doing this to your companion?" The response of the man who was wronging his brother, his own brother, from the same country, said to Moses, "Who made you a prince and a judge upon us?" Now I want you to remember this as we go through the sermon tonight. His people rejected him. Moses was a type of Christ. Moses came to his own to help them, to deliver them, and they said, "Who are you? Who made you a prince and a judge upon us?" Isn't that what the scripture tells us about Jesus? John 1:11, he came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. They rejected him. In fact, the Jewish people in Luke 19:14 said, "We don't want this man to be our king. We don't want this man to be our king." He came for them. He came to deliver them. You see, both Moses and Jesus, you see the parallel. Both experienced rejection from their own people. And listen to what happened next. "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" This is a Hebrew, which means this news was scattered. People knew about it. He didn't even keep it for himself. This is a Hebrew who Moses rescued, saved. Then Moses was afraid. Moses was afraid. Think about that. His mother was not afraid. She did what she did against the decree of Pharaoh. She hid Moses. She left him on the river. And the writer of the Hebrews tells us she was not afraid of Pharaoh, and she did it by faith. His parents were not afraid even to circumcise him. His sister was not afraid. Miriam was not afraid. The midwives were not afraid. Pharaoh's daughter was not afraid. The only one who was afraid now was Moses. That's why I say to all of you, God was preparing an imperfect deliverer. But a man of faith and action will come to that. But he was afraid. But remember, it took great faith on Moses' part to leave the house of Pharaoh and identify himself with God and his people. Listen to the writer of the Hebrews in Hebrews 11. What the writer of the Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 11, starting from verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused. You see, that's the first act of faith. He said to himself, I know who I am. I know what my mother told me. I know what my sister told me. I know my history. I am a Jew. I belong to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes, I'm in Egypt. I am rich. I have these all pleasures of Egypt, but I'm going to refuse it. And I'm going to refuse all these privileges in order to identify myself with the people of God and be despised. Would you picture Moses as if he was in heaven, heavenly glory, like Jesus? That's exactly what Jesus did. Father, I'm going to refuse this glory for the time being. And I will go down to the earth and redeem the elect. And in order to do that, I will let the Jewish people despise me and crucify me. I will identify myself with sinners, with your people. And that's exactly what Moses did. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing, you see, he not only refused, but he also made a choice. Beloved, faith is about making a choice. You have unbelieving parents and siblings, and you say, I'm going to choose God. You have unbelieving co-workers, and you say, I'm going to choose God over these people. It's a sacrifice. Yes, he was afraid, but he was a man of faith and a man of action. Christians can be afraid. Abraham was afraid. But you see the sacrifice. He refused it. He made a choice, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ. He was even thinking of Christ. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid. Now, don't be confused. What the writer of the Hebrews telling us here by not being afraid, this is the second time that he brought the Israelites out of Egypt. As a hero, he was not afraid. Because there will be another 40 years where God will crush, shape, and mold this deliverer. And he will go back to Egypt as a courageous deliverer, not as someone who will be afraid. We're not there yet. But you see his faith. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. That was Moses. See what we see here is Moses was a man of faith and action. He refused, he made a choice, and he trusted God completely. He was even thinking of Christ. A man of faith. You know, sometimes people say, I'm sure you have heard this,
Moses was a murderer.
And he never represented God in a righteous way. And to comfort God's people, I heard preachers saying, but God can use a murderer like Moses. Really? Was that what happened? Let me ask you this. Do you see in the scripture, anywhere in the scripture, God calling Moses a murderer? You will never find that. God never calls Moses anywhere in the scripture a murderer. God never said about Moses, Moses was a murderer and he messed up my mission. As some preachers would try to say, the writer of the Hebrews tells us he made a choice. He refused it. And he chose to be despised with God's people. Question to all of you. Do you have a faith like that? Have you refused it? Have you made a choice to be despised? Do you sometimes hide your faith from other people? Do you sometimes say, I don't think this is the time to talk about my faith. I don't want to offend so-and-so. I just want to be peaceful. I always wonder if anyone who condemns Moses for killing the Egyptian have such a faith to identify himself, to identify herself with God and his people. My wife would tell you this. I was in prison then. But when I was taken to prison for a long time, longer than the other imprisonments, my wife was sitting at our house. It was in the evening. And a brother in Christ from South Africa, whom she has never met. I don't know him. She doesn't know him. But he works for Open Doors International. And in the evening, he rang the bell. He came to our house. No Eritrean was visiting my wife at the time. Because if they come to our house, they will end up in prison. She was alone. And because my imprisonment was so fresh, even family members outside of my children were not allowed to come to the house. And this brother came to our house. And he came and he told my wife, I have never met your husband, but I read a story that he's in prison. And I flew from South Africa just to be with you, pray with you, and cry with you. Do we have a face like that? Making a choice. I'm going to buy that ticket and go to this country that I don't know, dangerous place, and be with that wife and pray with her. Now let's go to the book of Acts, and Stephen will tell us what was in the mind and in the heart of Moses. He's led by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit. You see, God, the Holy Spirit, is telling Stephen what was going on in the mind of Moses. So listen to Stephen. He was about to be stoned, and he was thinking of Moses. Amazing. I'm going to tell these Jewish people and the Gentiles after, even people at Redeemer at one point, I'll tell them about Moses. because I want God's people to know who Moses was. So listen to Stephen in Acts 7, starting from verse 23. When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them being wronged. Pharaoh was a cruel king. He was afflicting the people of God. He was going too far. Then he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. The Egyptian was beating the Hebrew with an intent to kill. So Moses defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. So Moses didn't commit a crime, but what Moses did was he acted on his own timing. He thought, if I strike this Egyptian, then the Israelites will rise up and come around me, and then I will take them out of Egypt, and there will be deliverance. He took matters into his own hand. God's timing. If we don't act on God's schedule, God's timing, God's will, we always pay the price. There is always consequence. You know what happened? God said, Moses, it's time for more training. You will go to the wilderness for another 40 years. I need to train you. I need to shape you. I need to mold you. You see, Moses thought, this is the time, and the Israelites will join me. But their response was, we don't want you. They rejected him. That was not the right time. And you all know when was the right time. You know that. He came to Egypt, spoke to Pharaoh. Israelites, they listened to him. They followed him. He took them out of Egypt. The right time. God's timing. He was not afraid, but now he was afraid. He flee. He went to exile. He was rejected by his own people. And the result was exile. Beloved, God never wastes our time. God never works in our time. But he always works behind the scenes. Jeremiah 19:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. So trust me. Don't take matters into your own hand. You could be a leader, a pastor, an elder. You could be a father leading your family. God's timing. Don't take matters into your own hand. Wait upon me. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Secondly, God, who is always aware of the plight of his people. You see, Moses ended up going to Midian. The Midianites were distant descendants of Abraham from his wife Keturah. So they were distant relatives of the Jewish people, the Israelites. You see, God now working for his people. Providence led Moses to the Midianites. That's what we read here. Now, when Pharaoh heard of it, he sought to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and stayed in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now, the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled troughs to water their father's flock. The shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and saved them and watered their flock. Now you need to know that those shepherds were very dangerous. That's why you see the Old Testament uses the word rescued them, because they were abusers. They abuse women when they come to the well to get water. But you see, this deliverer, Moses was for justice. Moses was there to help the oppressed and the abused. But then, this is what we read. He was invited to the house of Jethro. He gave him one of his daughters. He had a son from her. But now my interest is verse 23. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. The cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. Now, 4 things. I want you to notice 4 things here. First, God was at work behind the scenes. Now, 4 things. God heard, God remembered, God saw, and God knew. Let's think about God remembered. Every time you read the word God remembered, it doesn't mean that God forgets. That's not what it means. What does God remembers mean, especially in this case? This is what it means. God saw that it was the right time for him to act on his promise. That's what it means. You see, God remembers doesn't mean, you know, God talking to someone saying, refresh my mind. Can you help me with what I promised you to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to Joseph? I'm forgetting. I'm having trouble with my mind. Remind me. No, that's not what God is doing here. Even though sometimes you and I think that way. Sometimes you and I, we say, I think he has forgotten me. I don't think God is remembering me. But you see, God saw that it was time for him to act on his promise. It's time to act on the promise. So what does to forget means? It means to refuse to respond. That's what it means. To forget means to refuse to respond. Like what we saw in the morning. His brothers came to Jesus. You remember? And they say to him, it's time for you to go to Jerusalem and reveal yourself to the whole world. Not Galilee, not sermons, not preaching, but miracles. Jesus refused to respond. He said, no, it's not the time yet. God's timing. And now you see here, God remembers means he refused to respond. God is always aware of the plight of his people. Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. I will not remember your sins. I will remember and act on my promises, but once I forgive, then comes he knew. God knew. And God knew means God knew from the beginning. God knew what was happening to his people in Egypt. God knew what was happening to Moses. God knew what the midwives did, what his mother did, what his father did. God knew the groaning and the suffering and the pain of his people. What does that show you? He's going to deliver them. Because he heard, he remembered, and he knew. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All things work together. The good and the bad, humanly speaking, all of them, they come together and they work for the good of God's people. And here is the comfort that I want you all to take home tonight. I don't know your struggle. I don't know your pain. Pain and struggle that you haven't shared with me and my fellow elders yet. We don't know. But remember this. God knows. God knows. And God is going to remember, which means he's going to act on his promise for you. God knows. Maybe I don't know. Maybe you don't understand fully. But he knows. What about in relation to our salvation, in relation to our hope in the future? God knows. God knows. What is required of you and myself is to wait upon the Lord without taking matters into our own hand, to trust our God, to trust our God, and he will act on his own promise. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us through the life and the ministry of Moses, pointing us to the greater Moses, even our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you to make each and every one of us a man and a woman of faith, for us also to refuse to choose you and your people, even to identify ourselves with God's people, especially those who are suffering. We pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.